Hello, Flying Clubbers, and welcome to edition 48 of Flying Clubs Radio. I'm Steve, and I'm joined by my colleague, Drew. What's the scoop for today then, Drew?
Hey, Steve, and hello to all Flying Clubs out there. Today we'll be discussing a controversial but important topic, flight training in Flying Clubs.
Oh dear.
Yes, that's right, flight training. This is a very important and sometimes contentious topic in the context of Flying Clubs. I'll start off by talking about the rules and regulations around flight training in Flying Clubs. Then, I'd like to dive into how teaching students to fly can have a big impact on your club. For the purpose of this discussion, we are only talking about primary flight training here. Advanced ratings and recurrent training are a great way for your club members to stay proficient and safe. Sound good?
Sounds painful, but yeah, good for me. Good luck, by the way.
Thanks, I may well need it. Okay, here goes. The FAA has set out in the Airport Compliance Manual, FAA Order 5190.6B, Change 2, that flying clubs are to be treated by airport management in the same way as individual aircraft owners. Clubs are not required to maintain certain facilities, extra insurance, and most importantly, be treated as commercial operators. The catch is that clubs must comply with certain simple and basic rules. Mainly, clubs must not act like or position themselves to take business from commercial operators. This means that clubs cannot offer or advertise flight training, charter, air taxi, or aircraft rental. Here's a direct quote from the manual. Flying clubs may not indicate in any form of marketing and or communications that they are a flight school, and flying clubs may not indicate in any marketing or communications that they are a business where people can learn to fly. In summary, a club technically can admit student pilots and allow them to use their club aircraft to receive primary flight training. However, like so many things in aviation and in life, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should.
Yeah, exactly. Just because you can does not mean that you should. Drew and I have worked with many flight clubs over the years and have seen the entire spectrum of flight training within those clubs. From clubs like ours that do not admit student pilots at all to clubs, and I use the term loosely there, that are very clearly flight schools masquerading as flying clubs. We've seen the impact that offering primary flight training can have on clubs, and we want to make all of you aware of the consequences it can have for your club. Whether you have an established club or considering forming a new one, please hear us out.
To make this more palatable, let me break this down into our top five reasons why your club should not allow primary flight instruction. I'll kick us off with number one. Number one is member turnover. If your club takes a club member from zero to private or beyond, what guarantee do you have that they'll stick around and be engaged long-term members? I understand that life can fluctuate and that none of us can guarantee that we'll be around and able to stay as club members next year. But we have seen a consistent trend of clubs admitting zero-time pilots and allowing them to get their certificate only for them to move on once they've achieved it. This is especially detrimental because this member joined, beat the snot out of the airplane, more on this later, and then left before the club could recoup some of the costs for the wear and tear. If a licensed pilot joins and then leaves after a year, the impact is less because they are most likely to be kinder to the aircraft, put fewer hours on it, and therefore incur less maintenance. High member turnover also has other consequences for a flying club. It takes a lot of work to onboard new members, and since clubs are all volunteer organizations, this can be taxing for the membership team and can lead to accelerated burnout. Another long-term consequence of high member turnover is insurance.
Oh, insurance. Well, let me take this one. Number two, insurance. With the ever-tightening insurance market for all of aviation, flying clubs make themselves particularly vulnerable for higher rates by allowing primary flight instruction. To hark back to Drew's first point, when insurance underwriters see high member turnover along with a large number of student pilots, they'll quickly begin to assume that this club is really a flight training provider who is trying to act like a club in order to avoid paying the much more expensive commercial insurance policies. Your club may suddenly find they cannot renew their insurance and will be required to open a commercial policy, and that financial impact could sink the whole operation. Furthermore, student pilots just cost more to insure, plain and simple. Why is that, you ask? Well, because they break things more often. Clubs with student pilots are much more likely to make insurance claims, any major claim or subsequent repair could keep your club grounded for months, which is not fun for everybody else. Additionally, having an insurance claim, especially a total write-off, can cause your club to become uninsurable. What will your club and its members do in that event? Unfortunately, many times a club must disband and re-establish itself to get out of this mess. Insurance for flying clubs is a very hot topic right now. So stay tuned for a future episode dedicated to flying club insurance.
Steve, you guys like we already had that recorded or something. Oh, wait. Anyway, moving on. Number three, scheduling. We talked a good bit about club scheduling in the last edition of Flying Clubs Radio, but I'd like to focus on how flight training in flying clubs can harm a club's schedule. A typical training flight involves a 2-hour reservation with about 1 hour of actual flight time on the airplane. If your club has even one student pilot, they will end up peppering your club's primetime flying days with 2-hour bookings. This may work some of the time, but these bookings can greatly hamper other members from using their club airplanes to take longer flights, especially multi-day ones. One of the reasons we love flying clubs so much is because they afford us the ability to actually use our club airplanes to fly places beyond what we could by renting from our local FBO. By allowing student pilots to train in your club aircraft, you may quickly end up with a schedule that looks like your local flight schools, and that's something that can really suck the life out of your club.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. So let's move on to another negative. Number four, wear and tear. If you've completed your flight training, you know how hard learning to fly can be, not just on you, but on the airplane. Even students with the best intentions can still damage a plane. It's also worth mentioning that flight training is more rigorous operation for the aircraft than a typical cross-country training mission, for example. Lots of pattern work, air work, emergency drills. These can accelerate the wear and lead to more expensive maintenance, which the plane will most likely end up needing because of all the training hours being logged, let alone the absolute need to do 100-hour inspections. As a non-profit flying club, all members share the expenses of maintenance, overhauls, upgrades. This means that all of your club members are sharing the bill for the higher maintenance costs incurred from flight training. Is this really fair for all members to subsidize these expenses? I tell you, I think not.
And finally, number five, holding out. I'd like to revisit a point I made before we started this list. The FAA says that flying clubs may not indicate in any form of marketing and/or communications that they are a flight school. And flying clubs may not indicate in any form of marketing and or communications that they are a business where people can learn to fly. If your club begins to admit students, word will quickly spread through the aviation grapevine that they can join your club and learn to fly. I seem to recall from my commercial check ride that the word of mouth is a form of holding out. If there are flight schools on the same field as you, your club could quickly find itself in hot water if a school owner takes issue with your club holding out for flight instruction and taking business from them. A few points here. Firstly, be really careful how you word the benefits of joining your club on your website. Using phrases like learn to fly with us, aircraft rental, introductory flights, student pilots welcome, and similar language is an easy way to put a target on your club's back. Secondly, your club may be tempted to admit student pilots in an attempt to boost membership numbers. This is a slippery slope. Instead of admitting students, work with your fellow club members to recruit new private pilots after they complete their training. This is a great opportunity for your club to form a relationship with your local flight schools. They really don't want licensed pilots renting their airplanes for those hamburger flights, so your club is a great landing ground for their graduates. Reach out to your local flight school and encourage them to send prospective members your way. Thirdly, I've heard a few times of a flying club that wants to offer primary flight instruction because they don't think that the flight schools on the field are doing a very good job. I understand this sentiment. You hate to see a poorly run flight school cause a student to give up on their training. But at the same time, it's not your club's job to fix the system, so to speak. Let the free market do its thing. If the school is bad enough, students will go elsewhere with their money and the school will either shape up or ship out. You can also admit student pilots from local flight schools as social members so that they can see the light at the end of the tunnel and get support from other pilots who have gone down the same path as they are. This is a great way to build your pipeline for prospective members.
Right then, to summarize. We strongly feel that primary flight training and flying clubs just don't mix very well for these reasons: high maintenance costs, scheduling issues, unfair competition to flight schools, club insurance risks and costs, and high member turnover. If your club currently admits student pilots, you'd be wise to reconsider and instead have them join as social members until they complete their training elsewhere. If your club doesn't have any students, it's best to keep it that way for all of the earlier reasons. If you have any questions or feedback on this topic, and I think we're going to get some, Drew, please contact us. We'd love to hear from you. But for now, that's all we have time for today. So it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him.